Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started.
Welcome to another episode of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast. We're going to sit down and talk with John Liu this morning. John is a SharePoint Server MVP. I guess that's Office Services MVP today, and Senior SharePoint Consultant for SharePoint Gurus based in Sydney, Australia. John originally comes from a technology background in ASP.NET, and he's made the jump over the years to more client-side technologies and getting into what I'll call modern web development. So John's really a SharePoint guy and does a ton in the client-side space, particularly around things like business process improvement, how we can leverage technologies like Microsoft Flow, and that's what we're going to run through and talk about today with John, and really using all those tools to extend SharePoint for his clients, the wider community, does some really awesome stuff. John's a frequent speaker at SharePoint Conference, SharePoint Saturday events around Australia, and he's also one of the organizers of the Sydney SharePoint user group, which is where I met John several years ago. So I'm going to have to get back out to Sydney and we'll go down to the pub and have a Coke and get ready to go.
You remember, I don't know how to drink.
So that's why we're going to go have a Coke. It's very unassuming. So thank you very much for taking the time today. So for everybody who doesn't know how time zone math works, Australia lives in the future and John is visiting us from the future and I feel like I'm living in the past. So it's about midnight your time, right?
Yeah, it's just click over to Saturday.
Yeah, perfect. All right. So let's go ahead and get through this and see at which point, hopefully we can keep you awake the whole time. So I thought it'd be helpful and you framed out a couple bullets for us, but today we want to focus on Microsoft Flow. So let's give everybody an idea of what Flow is. And, I think from your side, you've said many times that Flow is a different product to different people. You want to talk a little bit about that?
When I first looked at Microsoft Flow, like everyone, we look at it and say, well, that's Microsoft's if this and that, some sort of trigger with some sort of action. An event happens, I want an email or I want a message sent to Teams. And then you look at it deeper and you say, well, I could build workflow automation. I could build kind of process automation. There's MVP Serge Luca. I hope I didn't get the name wrong. He built the most perfect approval workflow where the approval step could time out. So in Flow, you have these actions, and he configured this one where if a approval would, nothing would happen after 2 days, it would actually time out, and then you could do your permission escalation inside Flow. So that's a super cool one. Probably the best example of this process automation. And then beyond that, I've realized that you could see Flow as kind of a serverless middleware platform where you use it to build out a lot of web services that will complement your application. And then ultimately, from people that may have a BizTalk background, Flow or Logic Apps is a super integration platform. From that end, you're looking at, massive amount of data or signals coming through a service bus, and then you're shuffling them around into other systems. So our Flow is all these products. It's really interesting when you look at it from different angles and it looks different.
Awesome.
Based on how you use it.
So I think there's some interesting things there. So you mentioned if this, then that when you started out, which is much more consumer driven. And then by the end, you had integrations between Flow as a serverless platform with things like Azure Logic Apps, right? So it's really running that entire spectrum from what I would call maybe decidedly end user, right? Or kind of a point and click experience to some of the things that I've seen you doing with it lately, especially around flows for flows, right? And really doing platform automation on the Flow platform and then driving through some of that serverless experience, right? So as we go across and we look and we say, say, wow, there's this just really wide river of stuff to get across here. So what are some considerations for when should I be looking at Flow maybe versus a Logic app? Or, you know, is there anything that can help customers or people as they approach this think about right tool for the right job? Or is it just kind of try it and see what works?
Right. So because my background is a developer, I kind of see it in the middle. So I'm not using Flow more as a full BizTalk integration platform. I also don't use Flow as that kind of simple if this and that alerts. So I sit in the middle. And when I first started looking at Flow, probably several months back now, and the reason I jumped in is really because I know how to write Azure functions. And that's a way you could put some little bits of code inside Azure and run it in a serverless way. So when Flow in its beginning days, it was missing many, many connectors. I knew at any point I could just drop into a little bit of code. And that's really how I got in. And when you have the ability to add code to Flow, then as a developer, you really don't really have a limitation. You just, if you don't have a connector or if you don't have a connector that actually works, there are some connectors that were buggy, but you were able to just write some function. And the functions are not crazy numbers of lines of code. They're usually very simple in C#, in Node.js, or even in PowerShell. There could be as few as 5 or 6 lines of PowerShell wrapped inside Azure function. So that's where I see that anytime you see a limitation in Flow, you could switch to Azure functions to fill that in. In the old SharePoint days, that's the parallel is probably the custom workflow activities that we could write. So we could create an additional custom code workflow step and then use that in our workflow engine. So I see that as the direct parallel in Flow. Now, there was a quick mention on Logic apps. To me, Logic apps and Flow are the same thing. Logic apps is built around this concept of everything is JSON. You do have a designer, but a lot of it, you just have to switch into JSON all the time. In Flow, the UI tries to hide JSON completely. So you're not looking at JSON, you're just playing with the connectors. But underneath the hood, they are pretty much the same thing. For an Office 365 and Dynamics user, because there are free Flow execution runs as part of your plan, Flow is cheaper than Logic Apps. Logic Apps is charged by number of actions that are running in your Logic App. It's very cheap, but I think as a developer, I look at that model and I think it drives a strange usage pattern where you're trying to reduce the number of actions because, you know, if you don't do any debugging, if you just compress all your expressions into one action, you could halve your costs. And that just makes really unreadable Logic Apps. I kind of feel that pricing model is weird.
Gotcha. Yeah, you mentioned kind of a couple things in there. So one is continuous improvement of the platform, right, from a Flow side. Yeah. So Microsoft is always releasing new connectors, but, you know, I also cut on to you said connectors can have limitations when they first come out, right, whether it's a bug or a feature that doesn't exist, right? So let's take SharePoint, for example. We couldn't write management metadata natively in Flow for quite a while until Microsoft came in and brought in those connectors and release that functionality first party. But we could do that augmentation over, like you said, inside of Azure Logic Apps or really some external system because you do have the ability to make those calls out from Flow. The nice thing that's happening now is Microsoft is building more and more connectors into those Azure constructs. So I know a couple weeks ago I was sitting with Ben and we were kind of walking through some things while we were down at a conference. And he does a lot with his clients for Azure automation. And now things where, you know, a Logic App, you know, you might not have like full parameterization inside of Flow to just bubble it up and have it there in that GUI designer. Something like an Azure automation runbook, it actually supports the parameterization, lifts the parameters up, and it's all just natively there inside of Flow. So they're really getting better at kind of the glue that holds the world together. I think it's interesting, you know, from your side for customers when they walk down and they consider, like you said, what's the execution execution model. Do I want to be in my X number of flows per user per month pooled across my tenancy? Does it make more sense to go over to Azure Logic Apps and another execution model there? And let's, I mean, we're talking pennies, right? It's not like we're talking, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's pennies. And also the technical debt that you might incur with that, because, hey, technology changes all the time, right? Being in client-side dev, you know, you've gone through when JavaScript was just a thing, and then all of a sudden here's jQuery, and then now we've got React and Angular, and we went through Knockout, and now we've got Webpack and Grunt and Bower and just every kind of like weird named product that you could ever want in the world.
No more Bower.
No more Bower. See, this is why I'm not a developer. I don't keep up with any of that stuff. It just moves too fast for me. All right, cool. So everybody kind of, you know, they do get that like per user execution model pooled across the tenancy. So I think everybody can kind of wrap their head around that. So let's talk a little bit about kind of some of those limitations and where flow might make sense or where you'd want to hop out, right? So how does that abstraction work? Because really we're talking about these multiple layers of abstraction now, of jumping into all this serverless stuff, right?
I might give an example regarding creating Office 365 groups. Back sometime in December 2016, I saw, okay, Microsoft Graph gives us an endpoint to create Office 365 unified groups. But I'm not very good at the auth bit. It took me over a month to work it out. Through my whole December holidays, and then sometime in January, I wrote a method. Okay, here's how you can authenticate to the graph serverlessly, so there's no user involvement. You can just write this in one Node.js call. It will create a group. And then, so that was January, Node.js solution in about January. Then in about April, Michael Svensson, another Office 365 MVP, he got all the authentication working for Microsoft Graph inside the PMP PowerShell. So this is the Office 365 PowerShell from the PMP team. Mm-hmm. And that means that suddenly you could just use new PMP unified group within PMP PowerShell. So it turned the whole create a unified group is two lines of PowerShell. Connect to Microsoft Graph and then create the group. So that was April. And then in September, Microsoft Flow came out with a direct connector. So I kind of wanted to list these things as you can kind of see the progression. There is an API. You need an API first. And usually developers, we jump on this. Like, this is new ways of integrating with these products. But you got to auth, and you got to know your C# or your JavaScript quite well. And then at some point, the authentication is wrapped, abstracted into PowerShell. And now you could do the whole thing in two lines of PowerShell. It could run inside Azure Functions, so you can run in the cloud, or you could just run it, you know, in a scheduled task in a machine that's in your network. And then several months later, it's now in Flow as a product. Now you could create Office 365 group within Flow. It's one connector. You don't need to know PowerShell, JavaScript, or Node.js. You just provide the account and then say what name you want, and it just works. So I see that happening for almost every API. But any API that appears on Microsoft Graph is a extremely low-hanging fruit for Flow to implement as a connector. Another one that I saw was OneDrive API had a ability to convert a Word document to a PDF. This was in the Microsoft Graph for about 3 weeks. And then the Flow connector came out. In fact, I saw the Flow connector before I went back and said, wait a minute, which API is this calling? And then found that it's actually on the Microsoft Graph API. So sometimes a Flow connector comes out so quickly that developers don't even know they have that new API available. So that's kind of scary. It's awesome, but it's scary. Like, you think this whole thing is moving so fast that a developer that actually resources the APIs didn't realize that we're getting. It's awesome, but it's scary, but it's awesome.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, right? So you're reading really API documentation, right? It's the cadence for the documentation from an end user perspective, or I'll call them a power user, right? But somebody who's not actively into investigating REST endpoints to see what kind of new things are out there and figuring out, you know, authorization and tokens, right? To figure all those bits and pieces and drivers out there. And that's really great too. So now we have native integration with the graph, which if we think about Flow is kind of that serverless glue, really the graph is a great API, right? That's the glue across that Office 365 stack. So it's not just interacting with files in a OneDrive or information about a person. It could be integrating with a mailbox in a meaningful way and having process flows that are driven out of there and coming up across and doing all sorts of amazing and neat things. I would love it if we could talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been doing around Flow, really with like self-generating flows, or where Flow as, because you've been treating Flow as a development platform, at least from my end, right? Sitting on the outside. And I find that really interesting. So I know one of the things that you were going through, I can't remember if it was last week or maybe the week before, because your brain's moving at about 1,000 miles an hour, but using Flow as that glue, but then you were storing your flows over in SharePoint and editing them inside of document libraries so you could have versioning and effectively a lot of those kind of document-centric collaboration features of SharePoint, but be able to drive back in. Can we talk a little bit about that and how you got there and what your thought process was and what you were thinking about as you went through that?
So the process of building these or the process of that particular solution?
I think the process of that solution, because one of the things from my side, I would think from a little bit more of an administrative side, there's not a whole lot of insight into Flow and what it's doing, right? I can see that there's executions and that they're being pinned down against the pool. But really, if somebody goes and consumes 2,000, or what is it, or what's going on? And especially thinking about from a well-governed organization, right, where you're going to have some type of SDLC and process that you're going to have to follow. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about software development, right? It might be business process related, but that's what it is. So I think that's a neat model to get people to start thinking about better ways to govern this system that, you know, off the cuff, it feels ungovernable sometimes, but it absolutely can be, right? And I think that's a nice story to bring some comfort to everyone.
Okay. Before I go into the solution, the Flow team has announced that the ALM, the application lifecycle management tools, particularly the REST endpoints and the PowerShell commandlets are coming. So they have showed it, I believe, in MS Ignite. But what they have released is this set of Flow connectors under a category of Flow management. So basically, you have Flow connectors that could manage itself, right? And these are quite interesting connectors. This set of connectors lets you read all the flows in one environment, flows grouped into environments. You could reconfigure the connectors on them, so use a different account, say, for example. You could read all the flows and then get the JSON definition of these flows. So I often say Flow and logic apps are the same thing, because if you look at the definition of a flow in JSON, it's actually just a logic app definition. So they're actually the same thing under the hood. But also because the Flow team tries so hard to hide JSON from the end user, there's no way for you to kind of switch into that JSON view just to, you know, tweak things or do big copy and paste or move this chunk to another place. So the solution I came up with basically is you will have something like a scheduled flow. Maybe it runs once a day. And then it will basically take all your flows in the environment, take the JSON part out of, so just the definition, and copy them all into a SharePoint library. And the library has versioning turned on, so effectively you get your version control for Flow. Then on the SharePoint library, I set up a different flow that says if a file were to be modified, take that JSON and then update the flow just with that GUID with the JSON definition. So then this way you get the round trip where you could daily take a backup of all your flows. And then if you were to edit them inside SharePoint, and SharePoint Online has a great JSON editor, has a lot of, you know, you can format the JSON to make it look nice. draws little red squiggly lines if you didn't close your format properly. So you could tweak your JSON and then it will get saved back. And there's really only one scenario where I thought, well, there's a couple of good scenarios. One is if you're using, say, Flow to do your own HTTP request, say you're using Flow to call and get an access token, and then you're using that to manually call the Microsoft Graph because you need some additional API that don't have connected. So people have been doing that. If you have access to JSON easily, you could just copy that whole chunk and then paste it into new flows, right? So you get this, you can rapidly create new flows by just copying existing JSON into them. Very similar to in the old SharePoint workflow times, you could open SharePoint workflow in its XML form. And then if you know what you're looking at, you could kind of copy out chunks and move them around. That's the type of thinking.
So
the main feature would be being able to have the backed up multiple versions and even restore to the old version. Say you changed it and it's now completely screwed up. You could go back to yesterday's version and then just save that back and then have a restore to yesterday's version.
That's perfect, right? Because now we get that model, like you said, to not only manage, but also understand like what's going out there and have a way with some of these flow creation mechanisms to have I think a little bit more control over like import, export, potentially going between flow tenancies and some of the other things that, you know, when this product first came out, you know, in the way back when, you know, migrations were still, well, I hope you have two monitors and you're really good at copy paste.
That was horrible.
Yeah. Well, it's getting better, right? And that's the interesting thing.
No, it got really good.
It did get really good. So, you know, we talked about a couple scenarios, but let's talk about what else is there today. Because Flow being, like you said, kind of logic apps-ish, at least in kind of the abstraction and presentation, what it gives you, you do have access to some other things there, right? So usually when we talk about like Power Apps or inner system connectivity, we'll get into like data gateway. Flow supports data gateways today, correct?
Yes. Flow, because it's part of the business application platform, so that's the Power App, Flow, and Power BI, they use the same data gateway. That means Flow, which is a cloud product running in the cloud, is able to use a data gateway, which is just a free EXE. You run it in a server inside your premises. So in running on premises, and it will basically open a connection to an Azure service bus. And that's how it uses it. Both Flow in the cloud and also your data sources on premises will use this data gateway to communicate with each other. And so with the data gateway, Flow could talk to any file server inside your company. It can talk to SQL Server. It could talk to SharePoint on premises. I think last week we saw an example also from Sergey Luka that you could execute a PowerShell on a machine remotely. The way he did it was he made every PowerShell written to a folder auto-execute, and then he would use the data gateway to basically deploy additional PowerShell scripts into this folder, and then the machine would just run it. And I joke, this is a way of turning off his kids' PCs. Like, they need to be asleep, so you just press a Flow button, and you will just send a shutdown PowerShell to their PC. Super evil.
Yeah, it's taken parental control to a whole new level.
You could do it just on a whim. And one of the new things that they released also with Data Gateway is that the data gateway can actually call any REST API that's inside your own premises. So we have built previously a lot of customizations to SharePoint. We build them as additional IIS web APIs, right? So these are APIs running a separate app pool and they talk REST. Data gateway is able to talk to them. So we have a good story where in the cloud, we could have Flow reaching into on-premises and pulling out data through the gateway back into the cloud. That's very cool.
Perfect. Yeah. So it all kind of, it's moving super quick, right? What's that cadence and what should customers be expecting and kind of looking for there for connector updates, announcements and new connectors, new features, all that good stuff?
I found out just roughly watching the blog post, Flow seems to have a cadence of 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. So you should follow the Flow, official Flow blog. Usually every 2 weeks you get this massive amount of changes. There will be like 10 connectors and all these changes. And several of them are quite good. They're not usually the ones right at the top. Like you read through the whole blog post and there will be some gems right in the middle or sometimes right at the end. Data connectors accepting REST was one sentence in one blog post. I don't know why it's not a full paragraph, but anyway, those are gems hiding in that blog post. You can call REST, but we don't think anyone needs to know this. So it's just...
Yeah, well, it's what layer of abstraction you present, right? It's a little bit of an identity crisis sometimes. Do you want to cater to developers? Do you want to cater to power users? Because you're trying to be all things to all people, particularly in a platform that is so sticky like that, right? If it is truly going to be an integration layer, integration means many things to many people, and integrations are constantly changing too, right? Now we're into, I think, a little bit more of like an architecture discussion. We might as well pull up a UML diagram and just have the blocks on there, right? And say, I don't know, that's a it's the integration between A and B. And
I'm pretty sure Flow can draw that diagram for you.
Probably, but I'm going to leave that to you. We're coming up about on time. Any kind of final thoughts or takeaways that you'd want to leave folks with?
Flow is an amazing product. I think everyone should look at Flow, whether you're a power user, whether you're an IT pro, or even, especially if you're a developer, Flow abstracts so many things. Like you mentioned one thing where, John, how does your mind work at 100 miles an hour? It doesn't. But because Flow abstracts so many things, as a developer, you don't have to write all those code. And that actually speeds up how you could prototype very quickly. So I know about webhooks and auth and REST APIs. I don't have to worry about any of them. I just connect Flow blocks. So I'm going to end with that. That's a good tip.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the time and appreciate you staying up late and speaking us to us from the future. So hopefully when some of this stuff improves a little bit more in like, you know, another couple of weeks and you do this next amazing solution, maybe we can have you back on and talk through it. I really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Thank you, Scott.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.